spoilery sensation that's sweeping the nation.
This is Spoiler Wars.
What's up, nerds? Welcome to Spoiler Wars. My name is Mason Fields, and I will be your spoiler master for this spoiler-filled discussion of the season finale of The Boys Season 3. With me tonight, Lollipod is here.
Hello, hello.
And Justin is here.
What up?
All right, so we are playing catch-up once again, guys. We didn't get to talk about episode 7 of The Boys right before we started the finale. We took a little quick survey, who lives, who dies, all that kind of stuff. Not the kind of crazy, you know, bloody bunch of deaths finale we were predicting, and I think some ways we're kind of ready for.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed. Black Noir was the only one that died.
Yeah,
but we all knew that was coming because all the team is
he was the one guy that we were like sure was probably not going to make it out of this episode,
and everybody else I thought Maeve was going to die, and somebody else
it
I
just
can't
didn't
remember.
Feel like a season finale.
Yeah,
it had the good you know clash, the big fight, and all the heroes, and you're wondering which side they're going to be on, and all
but
that.
We ended kind of in the same place as we started.
Yeah, which was like the one thing that I said, like, I don't want to see us just be back at status quo again, and Homelander kind of back on top, and Victoria Newman still out there, and all that. We didn't get really any movement on that. You know, it's not a show that I'm like, you know.
Soldier Boy is back in the tube.
Yeah, back on ice again.
Yeah, so he's coming out at some point. We know that.
So, and I mean, Victoria Newman. I'll say, hey, maybe we'll get to see Jensen Ackles again. That could be fun. But actually, I thought where they sort of were trying to end it with him before that would have been satisfying. So it's one of those like, oh, okay, great. Well, you're keeping him around, so maybe I'll see him again. But like story-wise, this might have been a good way to off him.
And at this point, how do you kill him?
Yeah, yeah.
Like you did the gas.
Yeah.
And he Soldier Boyed everybody.
The gas was never to kill him, right?
I couldn't tell.
What they knew what knocked him out. They didn't know what killed him, but they knew what knocked him out.
So
based off of the Russia videos.
So were they trying to put him back on ice? Was that their goal?
I don't think
they really
had a plan after that.
Just get him knocked out and then we'll deal with it.
Yeah.
I thought that was a little unclear. I mean, of course, like I said, I'm sitting there going, well, why would his own blast have killed him? I thought it was kind of a weird sacrifice for Maeve. Right. And then, of course, a few minutes later, we find out, no. She's all right. She's here.
Everyone's alive.
Yeah, everyone's alive, going off to, you know, kind of happier times.
Maybe in falling and that giant blast got reflected back onto him, and so he turned into a human and then kaput.
Yeah, I kind of thought maybe, okay, the gas weakened him enough that you know, his skin's not tough, so the his own blast would kill him or something. But no, everybody walked away from that. I guess we can kind of take this one in order. The episode starts with it can't be a nice moment because of these two characters that are involved, but a moment where Homelander is trying to be a father and is actually kind of doing okay at it. You know, he's actually saying the right things for the most part.
Well, I think he always says the right things.
But he seemed like he actually meant it in that moment.
No, but I actually think he always means the right things. But
this was only the second time that I thought that.
It's an isolated deal to where it's only when he's talking to him. But outside of that, I mean, he's a terrible dad.
Well, I mean, he hasn't really been a dad, but that was a moment where he actually seemed like he was trying to be like a genuine human being. And like, I care for you, you know, I'm telling you, you know, how much I care for you and I'll be here for you. And
yeah, did you see the throwing motion on that kid? He does not know how to throw a fastball.
Okay, we haven't talked about that kid much because he was in so little of the run-up to the season of this point.
Just kind of annoying.
It is really bad. First of all, this young actor seems like he's driving now, but he's still playing it like he's 9. You know what I mean?
He's playing it younger.
Grandpa, you know? And it's just like, it's not working. Yeah.
The way he looks, the way he sounds, and the way he acts, all three are different ages.
It makes
no sense. That's the issue I have. It's just they're all different ages.
Some of the awareness and stuff that he's having is like aged above where you would think. So he's like savvy for the little kid that he's trying to play. But
is that because of the compound V? It makes him look older, but he's his.
I think it's less to do with the compound V and more to do with this.
Make his balls
that
drop?
He was this little bubble boy for his whole life, you know, in this weird little thing
fake
with
world.
The fake world with his mom. But still, it's just so irritating to watch. And I mean, you know, I hate to ever too harshly judge child actors, but I just don't feel like it's ever a good performance. And when he's starting to show emotion and he's actually doing this, like,
oh, the lip thing.
My bottom lip is quivering. I thought he was like whispering or something. He actually looked like he was trying to like tell Homeland or something, but no, he's just sitting there trying to do a pouty lip kind of thing. And from there, we get this scenario where they're trying to move Maeve because there's a bunch of the. What Homelander put something out on Instagram or something?
No, Starlight secretly filmed Homelander saying, or she had him on live, that Maeve was.
Oh, I forgot that it actually mentioned Maeve in that
conversation. In that conversation, because that was when she was still in the Compound V for Kimiko.
Oh, right. Okay.
And then they said, since that got out, that the Attorney General was coming to serve a search warrant for Vought.
Okay. That was the part where I was like actually getting up to go get my computer because I was like, I'm going to need a couple of notes on this thing. Everything was happening pretty fast. I thought at the moment that the gas was happening that they were just like, this is by Maeve, we're executing you kind of thing. They were doing the sad look with Ashley on the glass. And I was
she
like,
said, I'm sorry through the glass.
Yeah, and that's why I thought they were just like gas chambering her. So when they show her in the little ambulance thing getting moved, I was like, oh, okay. Nice little breakout scene, you know, tears through those guards and stuff pretty quick, gets out without much trouble. So, you know, it seems like Vought has a bunch of these fairy substances to keep superheroes in control, and none of them are at all effective to any of them. Yeah.
But I also think Ashley wanted her to get out. I got that vibe. Yes. I got that vibe that I was like, let's take the just put that in it.
Take this armored vehicle with only humans in it.
Yeah, like four dudes. And
like it was set up to where it looked like Ashley wanted that to happen.
I've got some issues, and it carries on through the fight in this episode where a lot of the discussion with Maeve has been, you know, oh, man, Homelander can instantly kill anyone. But, like, she goes hand-to-hand with him for a good chunk of the episode and – you know, close to a draw on it. So I don't.
Until she lost an eye.
Yeah. I mean, Homelander got the better of her, but even in the end, she's like kind of gets him away and then does what she has to do. I'm like, so what was the, like, if you were this badass, did you really have to jump through all these hoops to take Homelander down? It seems like you and, you know, one half decent suit.
Well, I think for a really long time, it was just her.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it seems like, I mean, especially in this episode when Annie gets powered up, that Annie and Maeve could have settled Homelander, you know, a long time ago. I think
it was the emotional toll that went through Maeve that she just, to be honest, she stopped caring.
Yeah.
So it's just like, fuck it.
And I guess they always have the, it's not myself that I'm worried about. It's if I try to make a move on him, he'll kill the ones I love kind of thing. So they've always got that in the bag.
And Homelander will.
Oh, yeah. And then we go to the motel with MM and Frenchie. This is where they introduce this like special poison that they got for Soldier Boy. That I was a little confused about with like the Starlight perfume at first.
I thought he was like, here, I brought you home a gift.
Yeah.
And then it's a perfume bottle. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then finally he said, you put the world's deadliest gas.
Yeah.
In a perfume bottle.
Yeah, that was, I was lost until he said it. I do think there was a lot of unnecessary, the gas or whatever it was like, oh, we've got it. Oh, we're going to use it. Oh, Maeve got rid of it. Oh, we've got to go to the lab and make some more. Oh, here we've got it again, but it still doesn't really do much good. So
why didn't they try to use that on Homelander?
Yeah. And what happened to it when Maeve and them went out the window? I didn't have much effect on Soldier Boy, so I don't know that it would have had any different effect on Homelander. I just feel like, why did they spend so much of the episode? I guess it's kind of we have to give these characters a reason to believe that they could win, even though the stuff they're arming themselves with actually
Well, at that point, they didn't know that it wouldn't be effective. All they've seen is these videos from him being in Russia where it did work.
Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, even after MM's, you know, gives him the grenade and he hits it like a bong.
That was a different gas.
Yeah, it's different gas, but it's still just like, okay, we're just going to go more dangerous gas. Dangerous gas.
More gas.
I did like the little moment between MM and Frenchie there, where Frenchie's like, you are fucked up man, but you're also the best man I know. You know, it's okay to be fucked up. Is that my Frenchie is not too bad, huh?
It's very nice.
Kind of turned a little Italian.
Little Italian, little Borat in there or something. But no, I thought, I will say I've really enjoyed this totally on a bender Frenchie the last couple episodes. You know, after last episode when he's all fucked up, and this one too, he's just like, man, life is fucked up, but it's great because I'm still alive, you know?
I'm still alive.
I'm still alive.
Wee wee.
Oui, oui. My wife.
Jeez. This is why the French hate us.
Oh, yeah. They have every right to.
We hate them, too.
But no, I just want to say, I think Laz Alonso. No,
we don't.
No, we don't. No, we look, well, whatever. I just wanted to say, though, I think Laz Alonso, once again, great in this scene. He's tearing up about how my daughter, you know, saw her dad and hit her stepdad and all that. And I just thought, I think Laz Alonso has been far and away the best performance of this season.
Yeah,
just with all the emotional stuff and the OCD stuff he's doing. Great little moment with his daughter at the end of the episode. We'll get there. From there, we get sort of the start of this Ashley in the deep, kind of, you know, stuck in Vought Tower with Homelander trying to maneuver around him. And this is where they're going to tell him that Maeve has broken out, and then Noir walks in and they're both like, so we're gonna go.
This could go so wrong.
I thought that was all a little weak, though, with Black Noir, to be honest, after so much of the last episode spent with him and his tie-in to,
learning more about him, because we've known nothing, really. And then they get you a little bit attached to him.
I just thought he had something up his sleeve, you know, coming back to Vought Tower. He's just like, nope, we got to kill this guy. And then Homelander just, you know,
murders him while nothing. He's polishing his sword.
They pretty much build up his character for nothing.
Yeah.
And I thought there was going to be at least a fight, at least maybe
he's come back something. From the dead.
Something.
Well, it's just weird
to run away and then come back and do nothing.
Mm-hmm. Here, Homelander, they have the hug and everything's sweet, and then in the next scene, Homelander comes in and kills him. Like, why did he welcome him back just to stick his hand through his guts in the next scene? It's kind of weird.
Yeah,
rough way to go out for.
Don't lie to him,
Black Noir. I will say, though, you know, yes, it seemed like a lot of stuff got ripped out there, but we see some crazy superhero healing. And
he could still be alive.
He could still be out there somewhere. I'm not sure that we need him.
I don't think so, because the bird went away in his face.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, the little chipmunk.
Oh,
yeah.
It was a chipmunk.
He slowly.
Oh, yeah, it was a chipmunk. Yeah.
Backed away.
He did. And, you know, wherever he is, he doesn't have his helmet on anymore. So, so then we get. What? Oh, I said Homelander knocks out Huey in a bathroom. I'm like, when did that happen? Butcher. Knocks out Huey in a bathroom. Again, I feel like we're playing a little fast and loose with Butcher's morals on this. You know, in the last episode, he decides not to tell Huey about the danger of the V-24.
But now we kind of see it's because he didn't want to scare him right away, and then...
Yeah, but
he wasn't going to ever let him take that extra dose.
Yeah, because I took it as like, all right, he's like, I got to figure out what to do to this to make it so where he
saw an opportunity in the moment.
Yeah, so where.
And I think when Huey has that epiphany in the car, it's like he knocked me out. He didn't tell me and knocked me out because he knew that if he told me and gave me a choice, I would still choose to take it.
Which I like all that. I like the they're still good in him, but then we pretty quickly turn back to the, oh, no, he's still just kind of sucks.
He's still a dick.
Yeah, he's still kind of the worst. From there we go to A-Train in a devastating scene with him and his brother, where he's talking about the death of Blue Hawk, calls him a murderer, tells him to get out of here, don't come back. I really thought, and I should stop thinking on this because every time fucking A-Train will disappoint you, but I really thought this was the episode where A-Train was going to get his shit together after that moment and like just do the right thing when it comes to, I thought he was going to come in the big fight at the end and make a difference.
Yeah, he just disappeared.
Yeah, nothing. I gave up on him.
Yeah, I just,
I'm over him. I'm just like, why? He's only here.
Are they going to like bring it back for something next season? It was just.
I don't know. I just feel like him and Deep are only here because they were in the first season. So, like, I guess we got to keep these characters going. How do we do it? And I feel like they're just throwing shit out there.
Well, in the Deep, they get away with it because it's all just this ridiculous comic relief stuff. And Chase Crawford is so good at all the shit he's doing with it. But the A-Train stuff is like, man, if he hasn't turned now, it can't be believable if and when he ever actually does. Because it's like, you should have done this a long time ago. I got no sympathy for you coming around at the, you know, it's the Darth Vader, you know, saving his son after murdering other children for 50 years before that, you know, kind of, it doesn't get you off the hook, buddy. So then, yeah, we get Starlight picking Huey up from the gas station. A little bit of an easy reconciliation for these two after the big blow up.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me though. They're the ones that are in love. They were just in a.
It was their first big fight.
Maybe. but they're in a tiff. But they both wanted the same thing. That's the thing. It's how everybody went about it was the shitty part. But they know they wanted the same thing.
So when we're here in the motel room, we've got Maeve and we've got all our boys back together except for Butcher. But we've got Starlight there as well. At that point, I'm like, let's go, man. Let's go. You know, Kimiko goes in the bathroom, kind of pulls Frenchie out of his shit.
Motel?
Yeah, was somebody's apartment or something?
It was someone's apartment because no motel has.
I think it was MM's apartment.
Yeah, because there's no motel that has a safe.
No, that was back at the Flatiron building. That's where they go after.
Man, you people are just not paying attention.
It's seen.
The apartment is MM's apartment.
We do have to shout out one of the best lines in TV I've ever heard. When Huey walks in, Maeve takes one look at him and says, "It's like you're wearing a neon sign that says, 'Raw dog me, I'm a bottom.'" Who writes shit? That is brilliant.
That was pretty great.
Amazing. And that was hilarious.
Not only is it great writing, perfect delivery.
Perfect delivery coming from Maeve to Huey.
And the way that she was like sitting on the couch, she's just gone through a hell of a lot. I mean, they walk in and MM is staring at her dirty feet up on his.
And he's just like,
his OCD is not loving that.
Yeah. And then she just looks over at Huey and that's what she says.
And then you just look at him, you're like, she's not wrong.
Yeah. It was perfect. Perfect. It was like somebody been saving that line since season one. And I'm not sure if Huey and Maeve have ever even had a conversation before. I'm trying to think if she was around for any of the exchanges with Butcher or anything. I don't know if she was, but I guess, well, Huey's been around Vought Tower for the last year, right?
Yeah. They've never had pleasant interactions, but right. the few they had, it was always been just like, oh, shut up, you little puny.
Please raw dog me. I'm a bottom. It's insane. So then we go to the Flatiron building where Butcher and Soldier Boy are having some strong drinks and Soldier Boy is kind of trying to have this like reminiscing conversation and Butcher's just like, yeah, fuck you, mate. But they're having this weird conversation about their shitty dads. And the whole time I'm going like, okay, well, obviously this showdown with Homelander is not going to go the way you want it to, Butcher.
Yeah, the second he started talking about that, I was like, oh, he's not going to kill him.
I mean, it kind of ends up turning that way in the end, but just from a like OPSEC sort of perspective.
Like something strategic, Butcher should have steered that conversation.
Yeah.
He's too smart to go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Instead, he was just like, we had a deal.
Well, he's so fixated on just being I don't fucking care about you. I'm just using you piece of shit to get this done kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Then like, yeah, that's where like you need an MM in the room, you know?
Yeah, because the whole time I'm thinking, okay, if you're going to try to convince him to kill Homelander, saying we had a deal.
Yeah,
is not the way to go.
A famous superhero deals don't mean who's shit. Been frozen in Russia for the past however many years. You got to coddle him.
Cuddle him?
Coddle.
Okay.
Coddle. Yeah, I did kind of like the Soldier Boy backstory about his shitty dad. Mm-hmm. You know, Butchers used to beat the shit out of him, but Soldier Boy's abused him with words, which was kind of worse in a way. And, you know, you're a failure and all that kind of shit. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, 20 minutes later, he basically says all the same shit to Homelander. Like, you're not good enough. You're a disappointment. Fuck
you're
you.
A pussy.
You're a pussy.
That made no sense to me.
It made sense for the character of Soldier Boy, But I just...
What do you mean? Why didn't it make sense to you?
Because he said he wanted a family, so he didn't want to be anything like his dad. Yeah, but
it actually does... Like, that's how it happens in real life. Like, you have, yes, victims of abuse, but the cycle also repeats itself in them, even if they don't want it.
Yeah, too true. Too fucking right.
So I think that was, him doing that was spot on.
Yeah, I think it was sort of an unnecessary line for him to be like, oh, I always wanted kids and all that. But it sort of set some weird expectations for it. But I thought in terms of the overall arc of the season, he's been very, I mean, hadn't he already been calling Huey a pussy for the last few episodes? Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it's Huey.
It's Huey. He's bottom. He's a raw dog and bottom.
fucking Maeve. all right, so bringing back the good goats, listen to our Thor Love and Thunder pod. All right, so then we get the weird end of Noir. He's sitting there sharpening his sword for no apparent reason. Homelander comes in, tries to have this heart-to-heart, which I actually think gets a little interesting when he's like, I'm the only person who actually sees your face under there. But then he just kind of drops it and is like, why didn't you ever tell me about my dad? Yeah, fuck you. I'm gonna kill you. I just, like, once again, why did we hug in the previous scene just to turn this over? I guess you could say Homelander had to go raid the fucking Vought archives in the interim or whatever, but I don't know.
I think he's just a fucked up guy, and he's going to torture someone before he kills him. He's going to make you think you're okay.
He likes to play with his food before he eats it.
Yeah, well, he definitely does. I don't know. Just kind of, not that Noir's ever been the biggest character, but like I said, kind of an unceremonious end to somebody who's been around day one and who has had both interesting comedic and story value, I think. But
developed his story.
Yeah, like, we just learned about it. I really thought we were going to get some kind of further scene with Black Noir and Stan Edgar. Mm-hmm. You know, Giancarlo Esposito's character. Yeah. Really shocked we did not see him again in this episode. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Really shocked he basically left the season after, what was that, episode 3, 4?
Yeah. I didn't like
arrested.
That.
Yeah, kind of disappointed. His voice was the one of the chipmunks or whatever from last week in their little reenactment mm-hmm. video. But,
oh, yeah.
But never came back. Really thought he was going to come back in somehow and, you know, I got you all right where I want you kind mm-hmm. of thing. But nope, I guess he's just out.
I have a lot of questions about Homelander's abilities and powers.
Mm-hmm.
He can see the skin, or he can see his face, so he doesn't have x-ray vision. Does he just see through clothes?
No, it's x-ray vision because he sees through the walls when he's spying on Elizabeth Shue in the first season. So I think it's like full Superman.
Superman doesn't see the scars. He sees the bones.
The bones?
Yeah, he sees the bones.
I think Superman has, it's like shifting your focus. You know what I mean? Like, you can see deeper if you need to see deeper.
Just turn that dial.
Because then otherwise, if he sees through everything, he wouldn't see anything. You know what
so
I mean?
So he can see titties.
Oh, he can see titties. Yeah. Oh, okay. Homelander sees all the titties.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, don't you worry. God. Don't you worry about that.
Interesting.
Male, female.
That's all you care about at this point. So you're saying he can see titties?
Well, my whole thought about x-ray vision, I didn't even think you can dial it in, dial it back.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Oh, I just
assumed... It's like Mad-Eye Moody, you know? You got to change the zoom yeah. lens, basically.
I just thought, you're just seeing bones.
We took this whole segue just so you could say bones a couple times, didn't we?
I did. Did it work?
Yeah, you got it in there. Always sounds good. Let's see. So then we get Maeve and Mother's Milk and the whole crew getting the drop on Butcher. Did like that little moment where it's Maeve at the door and Butcher's like, holy shit. And then MM's like, you thought I didn't know where the blind spots were, motherfucker. I don't know. Fucking Laz Alonso just killing it. I just think he's fucking cool as hell.
And I like damn it. I like Starlight a lot more because she has been interacting with Eminem.
Yes, M&M. I do too, yeah. I think Starlight is so much better with the boys than doing the phony superhero stuff.
Yeah, because you just see more of her personality. You see more of who she is as a person.
And how
she's great
developed she is. Mm-hmm. From the start when she was just this naive,
teenage
superhero.
Capes for Christ, you know, and all that.
I've only liked Starlight a lot more since she's been with Eminem. It's just been great.
That was the best part.
Yeah, Eminem.
See, I think like Marshall Mathers when you
he's just standing up because he's a real Slim Shady. Ooh.
I do think that's when MM started to pop more as a character for me too. Mm-hmm. Some of that stuff in season two where he's on the road trip with Annie and, mm-hmm. and Huey and all that. Mm-hmm. I think kind of getting him away from just being the like kind of no, the opposite of yes man, no man, I guess, to everything Butcher tries to do. But yeah, just
great. The Mason.
Fair. Devil's advocate. Yes. Devil's advocate. That's what I was looking for. Devil's advocate. We do get the kind of funny moment in this scene where Fritchie comes in and like starts going off on Butcher, and everybody's like, "Yeah, Fritchie, we get you, but not the time.
Yeah.
Not the moment. Not the moment."
Wait, I mean, you're not wrong, but like, all right, we got other shit to do.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, "Man, not the moment." But Kimiko's like so proud. She's like, "He's doing it."
I know, that was cute.
I thought they were really really sweet. The they finally gotten those two characters' relationship post the trauma of a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
They're good. They're settled. I like it.
They're both having fun. Mm-hmm. You know, Kimiko's a maniac in this episode. Dance moves. And like I said, she's basically like, "Oh, it's okay if I'm a monster as long as, you know, I'm having fun doing it." Just be positive and it's okay. You know, bash this guy's skull into the sounds of the beat. And then we get the scene with A-Train in the Deep and Ashley, very uncomfortable scene where Homelander, as we learn, orders the Deep to go assassinate a senator, which he's not comfortable about. But, of course, the Deep is, yes, Homelander, yes, sir, whatever you say. A-Train is a little unsettled when he gets called on his bullshit, but I think the big part of the episode is – or the big part of the scene is, you know, he's revealing Noir's death and makes Ashley take off her wig. That was rough. Poor Ashley. I think you kind of started to see the turn of that character a little bit in this episode. Still a total bitch to the other Ashley, not letting her assistant on the chopper.
Yeah.
But
it only seats four.
It only seats four. Only VPs are hired.
Yeah, seriously. There's four VPs or three VPs in the prez. So
that's how it works. Mm-hmm. Pecking order, bitches. So the boys decide to go to Vought. Again, kind of a cockamamie scheme to, get Frenchie into the lab to try to mix some shit up. Allowed for some cool moments for Kimiko, but like, just like, okay, whatever, sure.
Mm-hmm. And he all of a sudden makes it in 4 minutes.
2 seconds.
Yeah,
that was really fast.
And going back to season one, it took him like 3 episodes to make like one special bullet or something. Mm-hmm. And here it's just like, yeah, I got him. I got to stop with the bad Frenchie accents.
Oh, can you do better?
No.
Come on, let's see your Frenchy accent.
She's got the sense not to try.
Yeah.
Come on.
A petit Huey? Eh?
No.
So Butcher and Soldier Boy and Maeve all come into Vault Tower to confront Homelander. Real compelling, once again, acting by Anthony Starr here, where he's actually like in front of his enemy, Butcher, and Maeve, who he's kept prisoner. But he's just laying it all out there with Soldier Boy. Like, they want you to be my dad. I want a family. And
he's even tearing up.
Which as soon as he started to, I was like, oh, you know Soldier Boy doesn't like that. He's not going to like that. He's going to say, you're a fucking pussy to get out of here.
You're no son of mine.
And sure enough, that's pretty much what happened. What do we think about the big showdown here?
I just really wanted Soldier Boy's. I really wanted Soldier Boy to beat the shit out of Homeland.
Soldier Boy.
Soldier Boy.
You wanted Soldier Boy to tell him? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, I wanted him to blast Homelander so Homelander doesn't have powers.
I know. I want to see what he's like really without
wanted,
powers.
I really very wanted disappointed that.
We didn't get that.
But outside of that, it was pretty cool. I like the fact that Huey didn't take the temporary V and said, you know what, let's light up Starlight. I do not.
He used his brain.
Yep. Still don't like or don't really understand her powers because she got supercharged and then was.
She draws on the power around her.
Yeah.
So when he puts more, like he puts the more power into all of the tech around her, then she can draw more power from it.
Yeah. But she seems like she's always out of power, though.
Yeah. And it's like I get how it fuels her. I just don't understand necessarily the, like, sometimes the she manipulates light. Sometimes it, like, just cracks an electric screen. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's kind of a laser blast.
And to be honest, it seems like it's just temporary V because the power very doesn't last, spell, last that long. And it's she's clearly underpowered.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I mean,
like strength wise,
I was kind of bummed, you know, after Huey supercharges her and she's floating for a second. I thought it was a leveling
she flies
up
now,
but yeah. then it just
she's going super Saiyan. Like, yeah. I thought she was like, oh, yeah,
but she
hulked out.
Yeah.
But then the blast she issues just seems like all of her regular blasts and then it's over and she's out of juice again.
Yeah.
I didn't really get
that. I didn't really like that. But I like the fact that Maeve was holding her own against like it was Maeve and Homelander that entire time.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
Great fight between the two of them. Like
she
said,
got her eye fucked up.
Yeah, the eye got fucked up. But all things considered, I thought she did a great job of holding it. I mean, it was pretty much punch for punch until that moment. I guess Homelander was a little distracted, but it's not like Ryan was there tugging on his cape or anything. Like I said, pretty even match. I did love the moment where Soldier Boy starts lighting it up and, you know, Butcher kind of makes the choice to save Ryan from it. But then so does Homelander, and they sort of team up for a second, and then
that was weird.
They kind of have that look like, I didn't like that, but do what you had to do.
Yeah, they both are like, okay, yeah, we're good.
And then I actually, like, weirdly sided for Homelander for a second when Maeve starts attacking him, and he's like, we've got bigger fucking fish to fry.
I did. It was a weird feeling. Yeah. I was like, yeah, he's not wrong.
Yeah, you're like, you may want to, actually, I think, Maeve, why don't you all just, deal with
kill
this
him and, after y'all get Soldier Boy.
But then, of course, that's basically where we are back at the end of the season. So, yeah, I don't know. I did love the, well, love's not the right word for it. Homelander takes a big fucking metal spike in the ear.
He still can hear.
Yeah, I thought we were going to get some ramification from it because he doesn't say anything.
Thought maybe it would, like, throw off his balance.
But he just walks
out.
I got
so excited.
How funny it would have been if his first line was, hey! And he's like, this fucking
really
yell.
I really thought, because he went so long without talking, I really thought the next words were going to be super loud.
Yeah. Because he's normally very, like, soft. He doesn't yell. Like, he's always just trying to be calm. He yells a little bit when he needs to, but he doesn't, I don't really like he liked. He's not a screamer.
Yeah.
For his normal level to be a lot higher, it would be hilarious.
Yeah, I think missed opportunity to do something there with that. But of course, later in the episode, you know, Homelander comes down to his little press conference and seems fine. Seems, you know, same old Homelander. Still got that super healing. And of course, though he had super hearing before, does he still have that? I don't know. They've always been very inconsistent with his super hearing in terms of, like, does he just hear you around the corner? Does he hear everything in Vault Tower at all times? Very, very
selective. Does he have to learn how to tune it out?
Yeah.
Superman does. He really has to focus. Like, if he needs to focus, he just...
I mean, Superman can literally hear everything on the Earth at all times. He has to, like, tune his shit.
That would be so annoying.
Terrible. Terrible. Yeah. That'd be the worst.
Absolutely terrible.
Right up there with Professor Xavier being able to, like, mentally feel everybody all the time.
Oh.
Anxious just thinking about it. Some other great little moments in the fight. We get Soldier Boy's shield breaking and MM's, yeah, fuck your shield, bitch. He's so, like, childishly excited about it.
Or when, right before that, when he's going to John Walker. Who is he going to John Walker?
Butcher.
Was it Butcher?
Yeah, he's going to John Walker Butcher. Just straight up the same way.
Oh, yeah. They sort of shot it the same angle. Uh-huh. They knew what they were doing. They've seen Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
I like how that's now just called the John Walker.
It's John Walker. He's got a John Walker, that fool. Overall, great little fight. I thought the Soldier Boy stuff, once again, power scaling a little weird. He seemed like he was handling... He seemed so far below the level of Homelander in Herogasm. But in this episode, he's beating a supercharged Butcher and Annie and Kimiko all kind of a little too easy. I mean, he's fucking throwing them around the room. And when he slams Butcher on that desk.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, just a little unsure about, you know, I think that can be said for this show overall. It's not, you know, it doesn't want to spend too much time dwelling on, like, exactly where it lines up. But it also kind of leaves you going, but wait, that doesn't add up.
You can do that with almost any superhero movie. It's never
That's
consistent.
True. I took it pretty easy on Thor in that regard. All things considered, didn't beat that one.
They're gonna fight somebody. He's gonna
He can repel bullets, but he's always going to duck when the gun gets thrown at him. It makes no sense.
You ever know that?
Took me a second.
Yeah.
I was like, the fuck are you saying? And then, oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah, everybody, they always duck when the gun. Why? You're not, if you can stop bullets with your chest, you're not going to duck for anything.
Right.
Like, it's not going to, like, you're not going to feel anything.
No. He can poke his eye out.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, of course, it basically happens at the end with Ryan. He gets hit in the face with something. And, you know, I'm like, fucking little Superman got hit with a can. Like, he didn't feel that shit. Like,
he shouldn't have.
But Homelander took that shit seriously. But anyway, before we get there, let's see. Homelander takes the one in the ear. Maeve sacrifices herself to save everyone from Soldier Boy. But wait, she doesn't do either, really. Big boom. Very dramatic, but
both, nobody dies.
Both people are fine. A lot of damage to Vault Tower.
Captured.
I mean, that's progress, I guess. But
you know, he's captured. He's getting out. I can't. After you guys
they're
said
start,
this,
gonna start like winter soldiering him.
Well, see, I think he's actually go the brainwashing route. Yeah, I think it would be weird because he's already been such a mix of like he's kind of already been through the Russian. Mm-hmm. Captivity thing.
And now he's going to be an American Winter
CIA
Soldier.
Brainwashes.
I don't know. Ever since you guys said we're back to the beginning of the season, like I can't get that out of my head. We are 100%. Yeah. He's on ice. The Nadia is still out
living
there,
on up.
Living on up, getting ready to blink and take people's heads off. Homelander's still running wild.
I mean, really, the only big change was Starlight left Vought.
Butcher's dying.
Ryan is with Homelander and Butcher's dying. Yeah. That's about it, really.
And to be honest, that you can do that in an episode.
That's not a lot of movement for an 8-episode season, yeah. And that, like I said, that's been a criticism in the past two seasons. I feel like we've kind of ended where we started. Yeah, a little bit of progression, but like the big finale never really happens. The past two seasons, it's been because, well, we've got to sweep all this shit under the rug. But now that we're doing the... You know, it's all out there and Starlight knows and the public knows and all that. It feels weird to basically kind of be back at the same spot. Still no Stan Edgar back. I guess that's the other big turn. But like it wasn't a big turn of the season because it was like episode three, you're gone.
And,
like,
and Homelander's running the whole thing, yeah. the whole seat.
Like
season.
Did Giancarlo Esposito have other contractual obligations or something and they had to write him out of the show? Very, very strange in that regard, especially the way they set him up as the kind of man behind everything.
Yeah.
And still continue to, even after they sort of brushed him off the show a little bit. We get a nice little moment with MM and his daughter where she talks about, you know, he kind of has closure with the Soldier Boy thing. And she says, Daddy, you're my hero. And once again, great Laz Alonso. Great scene. Maeve is alive. Soldier Boy is put back on ice. And Homelander intros his son, Ryan, to the public and blows a guy's head off.
I want to know if MM's ex-wife, were they married? Ex-wife.
Yeah, they were married.
I think they used to be. Yeah.
If she like dumped the stepdad after.
Yeah, we didn't get
that
any.
Whole. So I have no idea. And then the next time you see the stepdad, he's in the crowd of. Homelander.
Yeah, he's the guy to cheer. He starts the slow clap, basically. Yeah.
And because she also wasn't happy. She was
like, you took my daughter to one of those?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it was a little weird we didn't get a button on that with the with Laz in her house. Right. In her house.
And then, but they do show him at the rally. Yeah. So it's like, what?
I thought it was a nice button on that character's. Mm-hmm. Shitty arc as it was, the like, yeah, of course it's this guy is here, and of course he's the one that's like
that
getting a
cheering.
Fucking hard on when he sees Homelander blow this lasers this guy's head off.
And at that point, so when they cheer, I'm just like, so what can't Homelander do right now?
Oh, well, yeah,
like at this point, like
he's more on top than he's ever been.
Yeah,
he's got little Homelander, and he's got full control of all
little homie.
Little homie, little homie. New coin word for next season. Little homie.
That's right.
Little homie,
you're
big
the
homie.
Worst. Yeah, there's that guy that like went straight to the camera and said, like, stop feeding us lies or something like that.
Something
and
fascist.
Knocked it over, and then Homelander blows the guy's head up.
Which I think it speaks incredibly well to how successfully they social satire that actual state of right. the world right now, because even in the previous season when they have the very similar scene with Homelander and Stormfront in front of the crowd in New York, mm-hmm. and Homelander lasers everybody in the crowd, but then it snaps out and you see mm-hmm. it was like kind of a dream sequence or mm-hmm. image. If he had done that then, it would have been like the end of everything.
Yes.
But doing that now is like, eh, whatever. Oh, yeah. Cool. Yeah. You know, he's got the people that are like, yeah, you're doing the right thing. But it more than that. It
shows how things can.
How shitty things can get.
Yeah. So quickly. Yeah. Like I said, as much as I respect the show and admire it for being able to successfully lambast all sides of the political spectrum, it's kind of depressing when you finish a superhero show and think about like, yeah, that wasn't unrealistic in any way. Mm-hmm. You know, that was totally believable. We can sit here and talk about Thor and screaming goats and all that, but you know, none of that's like, yeah, it really makes you think about our times we're living in.
Yeah. This one is just like, wow, good job, America.
Yeah. It's kind of, you know, I like a dark tint to the superhero stuff from time to time, but this is, it's not just a tonal thing. It's also in the messaging of it.
Yeah.
It's hitting too close to home. Yeah. All right.
A little bit. All right, guys. Any final thoughts on The Boys season 3?
Overall letdown.
I thought it was a really strong season, just kind of let down by the finale.
Yeah. I know. I like the first 7.
Last 2 episodes, to be honest. I feel like it kind of peaked with Herogasm. I think some of that was their fault with sort of over promoting, yeah. Building Herogasm up so much. Episode yeah. 6.
Herogasm. It could have been they used something like that for the finale.
Yeah. Yeah, next time, don't like talk up episodes.
Don't blow your load too quick.
Got it.
Yes.
And it's kind of a I don't know, Game of Thrones, the Long Night episode where it's like mm-hmm. episode 3, the Battle of Winterfell, and then everyone's kind of like okay, and then it's hard to kind of get back up again for the later thing in yeah. the season, you know. Overall I thought it was a really fun season. I'm just kind of disappointed at how fast it flew by. It's 8 episodes, but because of the release strategy it's basically 5 weeks. I actually think that's a really great release strategy. It's just amazing how fast these shows that were gone because of COVID for more than 2 years
can come and go.
Come and go again in a week. Stranger yeah. Things, you know.
So when do we get the next season?
Hopefully next year. I think they're playing catch up, you know, post COVID, yeah. you know, doing a lot of stuff. But then at the same time, they've got these like spinoffs that they've announced. They're doing like a Vought University kind of thing, oh. like a superheroes, the college years, which could be interesting. We'll see.
So they're making their own Boys
universe a little bit, which is
I kind of like that.
The BU.
I'm interested to see what call it with those like cocky sons of bitches. Yeah. You know, are when they're college
in
kids
the fucking dorms.
Ugh, college kids are the worst.
You're gonna get a bunch of Herogasms.
Yeah. Well, it also is, it's potential for sort of a X-Men type thing, you know, a bunch of yeah. superpowered folks in the school and all that the hijinks ensue. Yeah.
And we could see more of what was the thing that Annie did growing up?
Capes for Christ.
Yeah. More of that world.
More of that kind of stuff.
Probably not.
Probably not. Hope not. Fuck those guys. All right. Thank you for joining us for this, recap of the season finale of The Boys on Amazon Prime. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Spoiler Wars Pod. My name is Mason Fields. Until next time, stay spoilery, everybody.
Peace.
See ya.